there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven that won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, it won't be long to me. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven on the hands that hold you now.
I just want to thank everyone for being here, and just appreciate, we got people from out of town, we got family out of town, and we've got friends from out of town, and thank you for just coming so we can celebrate The life of Paul Dean Suss, born July 21st, 1969, and passed into the arms of God December 12th, 2021. I mean, what do you say about Paul? Paul just had a big heart, as big as Texas. Paul would, he'd also take people in. I don't know if he ever told any stories about the people he would take in, but he would take them in to his home, and it would take forever for them to leave. Paul would share his faith when he was Ubering and lifting. Paul would put his Bible on the seat or put it on the dash, and he'd tell me about conversations he would have with people. His faith was real. His walk with God was real. He set up, for the church, he set up cones right back here in the back parking lot for the food distribution. Very faithful in that. You know, Paul just wanted to love and be loved. You know, Paul and I had a lot of adventures. Let's just say he got himself into a lot of exciting and interesting situations. But it was funny how he would come through them. You know, he would come through them, and he would learn more about himself and about more of what God would want for his life. And very transparent with life. And basically, I'm going to miss Paul, but I know right now, he's truly free. He's truly free and enjoying life more than he ever thought possible. We're going to miss him. Why don't you pray with me? Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that Paul is with you. He is safe, and he is in your presence, enjoying everything you've promised us through your word. Thank you so much that he's there. And I pray that this time together would just be a time that would glorify you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to be reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness and his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for that reading. Again, welcome to all of you who are here today. My name is Eric Noss. I am one of the pastors here at the church who has had the privilege of knowing Paul Suss for, in my case, for the last 5 years or so since I've been here. It's been such a delight to know him. And there are several others of us pastors who also were engaged with him at various levels. So thankful to know him. You just heard from Pastor Floyd Morgan, and Pastor Tim Arrington will also be leading us in music. And so we just want you to know on behalf of the church how blessed and honored we are to be celebrating Paul's life in this way. And normally at this time, we might have a family member come and read a eulogy, a life story about the one who has passed on. In this case, Paul's brother was not able to be here personally for this memorial, but he did send a eulogy and asked if I would be willing to read it on his behalf. And so let me read this then for us as we think about Paul's life. This comes from Jim Suss. Dear pastors and friends of my brother, Paul Dean Suss, my name is Jim Suss, and I have personally met many of you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for taking time to remember my brother today. Suss, quote unquote, everyone called him Suss. On many occasions, Paul joked that most people did not even know his first name. He was most proud while walking around Christ Community Church campus with people shouting out, Sus. Paul always had a one-sentence reply just for me. He would say, "That guy was a Marine. He fixes the computers around here. I serve the homeless with him each week. That guy's been coming here for a long time. He and his wife have 6 kids." Paul knew a little about everyone, a true people person, and he never felt more alive than while on campus at Christ Community Church. Over the past 12 years, I have had the privilege of writing and delivering the eulogy for my mother and father. Today, the same privilege has been extended to me by Christ Community Church for my brother. Paul and I had a great childhood. We lived in the same house, and our parents were married for 42 years when our mom passed away unexpectedly in 2010. The number of big events that took place in our lives was impressive. Family camping trips, family vacations, tons of scouting events, traveling the world with our parents. Dad was in the Air Force. We lived in unique places like Turkey, Thailand, Spain. And because our dad was stationed in these countries, we were able to thoroughly travel in each one of them and many of the surrounding countries as well. Throughout our entire childhood, both my mom and dad were present at every event that we ever participated in. Looking back, it was amazing to see how much time they invested in us kids. Paul had many skills and soon found himself an accomplished artist at a young age. Paul could draw or build anything. His attention to detail was profound, and he quickly became popular with other people as he would always take the time to make or fix things for them. Paul also started lifting weights around 10 years old. This continued well into his 20s. Looking back, our parents had a profound impact on Paul. He worked hard and was always a fantastic host. No matter the stage in his life, Paul always found a way to make people feel comfortable in his home. When Paul found Christ Community Church, it was a huge blessing for him and for me. I was concerned about Paul's spiritual health. That all changed when he found Christ Community Church. After starting to attend, his conversations became deeper. He started having real conversations with me about Jesus. On many occasions, Paul would profess his faith in Christ to me, and I had constant reminders of his notes about the most recent sermon. Paul would take pictures of his notes and send them to me. He always wanted me to know that he was working to understand Jesus more. Some of the areas where Paul grew the most was in his understanding of the Lord. If you ever had a phone call with Paul, you know it was prone to take a while, .. Many times we would spend an hour plus on the phone just talking about Jesus. It was wonderful to see him grow so much in his spiritual walk. Paul really had an eclectic taste in music. He listened to many different types, but always found himself drawn to country music. He tended to dress like his preferred music style. Over the years, Paul grew accustomed to wearing a cowboy hat, and many of the pictures he sent me had him wearing one. And by the way, we have at least 2 of his hats, one here and one in the table that you passed on your way in. So be sure to look at those. 2021 was a tough year for the Sus boys. Our father's health sharply declined, and Paul continued to help with things on the ground here in Tucson as his brother lived back in Texas. Paul was great at fixing things around Dad's house or doing yard maintenance for him. Paul was not your typical bachelor. His house was always clean. He stayed on top of the yard and the laundry. Growing up in a military household provided Paul with lots of great examples. Paul took pride in his personal appearance and always dressed nicely, or above the dress code for many events. Losing a family member is never easy, but it is much easier knowing that his friends and pastors present today were committed to leaving Paul better than you found him. Thank you so much for taking the time to remember my brother today. I was assured by Pastor Noss that Paul is in heaven, and I know that to be true.
Pastor Eric said we're going to sing a little bit today, so if you didn't get a bulletin on your way in, let me encourage maybe Pastor Floyd to pass them out. Go ahead and stand with me if you would, and let's sing 2 songs, great hymns of faith and celebration. Let me sing together, Amazing Grace and then Be Thou My Vision. Oh. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I'd first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
If you'll turn the page to Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence, Thy light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of mine own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Thank you for singing. Please be seated.
At this time, we'd like to open up for a time of open mic sharing. We want to invite any of you who perhaps would just like to share a story or a memory about Paul Suss and what he meant to you and the ways that you knew him. So I would invite you to come on up, introduce yourself so that we know how you were connected to him, and go ahead and share. We'll kick this time off. I've actually pre-invited Ken Arnold to come and start us off by sharing. And when Ken is done, you can come right on up and share. Ken?
Hi. So, like Eric said, my name's Ken Arnold, and I've known Suss, I don't know, 11 years, 10 years, something like that. When he first started coming around, I remember him, it was men's study on Wednesday night, and he would come. I was hoping maybe you could help me remember the name of his dog. No, the little black heeler that he had? Sydney. Sydney, that's been driving us nuts for the last, because I wanted to get to know his dog. That's how I am. I like dogs. And I asked him if I could pet his dog, and he goes, "Yeah, good luck with that. You know, it's my dog, and she's pretty exclusive." And I'm proud to say it wasn't only, 3 or 4 years probably before Sydney would come and say hi to me. So it was, but it was once I reached that level in Paul's life, I figured, him and I were friends at that point. And we made a lot of memories together after that. You know, there was, in my own journey, a little over 7 years ago, I got sober. And Paul, him and I, we were hanging out some. And we had a as part of the men's ministry, we decided one night to get together over to another brother's house. He had a fire pit in his backyard. And me and a guy by the name of Rob Lomas went and picked him up. He comes out the car and he goes, "Just a minute, I'll be right back." And he runs back to his house and he comes out with this little igloo. And we're like, "What do you got there?" And he goes, "I'm bringing a six-pack." We're like, "Well, it's not really a six-pack kind of deal." And he's like, "Bringing a six-pack." We're like, "Oh, okay. I guess it is that kind of deal." And that's Paul for you. That's Suss. He's, he was just a wonderful soul. When I learned of his death, it was so sudden. And an absolute punch in the gut. I'm going to miss him forever. You know, he was a guy that sometimes, I think, required a little extra grace. I think sometimes he required a little extra patience. But the one thing I know that he required most was a little extra love. And he got that. He got that from me, and he got that from a lot of people around here. And God bless him. I know he's with the Lord right now. Man, he just touched so many lives in his own special way. I'm gonna miss him. So thanks. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. My name is Nick Andrews. And thank you so much. I was prepared to give a full eulogy because I've known him since we were 15, and there's some of my dearest friends in the crowd. I'm happy to see you guys made it. Thank you so much. Paul was the most loyal and loving friend I've ever known, and I know that each of you have memories of Paul and remember his big heart and his caring nature. I first met Paul when we were 15 years old. We were driving motorcycles on the west side of Fort Worth. We became fast friends. We played basketball after school each day. We spent our school years in Fort Worth in youthful bliss. As teenagers, we enjoyed many social gatherings. Paul was an artist and would often paint and draw. And my mother, God rest her soul, would call Paulie Polly Wally Doodle all the day. God rest her soul. And life was good. We had a great time growing up as teenagers. After our years at Brewer High School, Paul attended Tarrant County Junior College in Fort Worth, where he ended up becoming the president of the art club. Paul was born on June 21st, 1969 at Luke Air Force Base over in Phoenix, Maricopa County. We were only born 1 month apart. Paul's mother, Carol, and his father, James, had two boys. Their firstborn was Jim. We heard from him earlier. Thank you. Paul was their second son. Paul's father, James, went by Bud. Bud Suss was a career military man, and he earned the honorable title of Chief Master Sergeant, and this is the highest enlisted level of leadership. And as a result of Bud's impressive career, Paul spent his youth and his family stationed around the world in several different countries, including Turkey and Spain and Bahrain. And while we lived in Fort Worth, Bud would make special trips to the Pentagon, and he was in charge of managing our fuel purchasing for the government all around the world. And Paul was very proud of his father. Paul held many jobs during his life, and some of his favorites were serving and bartending at fine dining restaurants, including Harbor One Yacht Club in Eagle Mountain Lake, Texas, Prego Pasta in downtown Fort Worth, Avanti Italian Bistro, and Sfuzzi Cacopazzo in Scottsdale, Arizona. Paul also enjoyed working in art and advertising for Payless Cashways, and enjoyed his years working also in sales. He sold homes manufactured homes for AAA Homes, and he also sold cars for Five Star Ford, and he also sold furniture for Ashley Furniture. When Paul moved to Tucson, he created his own company called Specialty Designs. He loved creating art and doing carpentry and landscaping design and helping his father, and he loved volunteering here at this church. He enjoyed helping out with his homeowners association and promoting Block Watch, where neighbors worked together to be the first line of defense against crime. Paul was heartbroken and went into depression when his mother passed away. He ended up taking care of his father here in Tucson towards the end of his father's life. Bud ended up with dementia, and his health and mental faculties were in decline, and Paul was there to take care of his father the best that he knew how. I wish to mention that after Carol passed away and Bud was a widower, he was blessed to meet Gloria, and Gloria, who lives here in Tucson, who's here with us today. And they went on an Alaskan cruise, and that's how that relationship got started, and Gloria was instrumental in helping take care of Bud. And when Bud passed away on August 5th of 2021, it was a very difficult time for Paul. After caring for him and being there and watching his father pass away, this was tough on Paul. He talked often about his feelings and how much he missed his mother and his father. And he also shared with me also his struggles with muscular dystrophy. He was a proud member of the Suss family, and he would often introduce himself as Suss. And there were many versions of Suss. He was the Suss man. And he was Suster, and he was Sussy, and my kids have him in their phone as Uncle Suss. Paul was married one time in his life to a woman named Miriam, and their marriage did not last that long, but his love for her lasted a lifetime in his heart and mind. My girlfriend, Jackie, who's here with me today, asked me, who did Paul love the most? And I said, he loved them all. He had a big heart. And he was always quick with a pickup line, his entire life. Paul was an Eagle Scout, the highest achievement or rank attainable by the Boy Scouts of America. Since its inception in 1911, only 4% of Scouts had earned this rank. It's a lengthy review process, and the motto of an Eagle Scout is, "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight." That sounds like the Paul I know. He would help anyone at any time and was always willing to lend a hand. Paul enjoyed volunteering here at Christ Community Church. He loved passing out the food and setting up the cones. Paul was a proud member of this church. Something else that gave Paul joy were his dogs. Anyone who knew Paul knew that he was a dog lover. Over the years, he cared for many dogs, including his parents' dogs, and he loved miniature schnauzers, including Fancy and Precious and Zoe and Molly and Sydney and of course, his precious beloved dog, Jesse. Paul lived with me for most of his life in Scottsdale and helped me take care of my two birds, Red and Cabo, and he did it with joy. Paul didn't go anywhere without Jesse, and I promised him if anything were to ever happen to him that I would take Jesse in as my own. So now Jesse lives with me and my family, and we try to love her as much as Paul loved her. and it's been a blessing to have her in our home. Paul was politically on the right. He was a Christian conservative. He voted for Trump. And he asked me this, if he dies, that he doesn't want to start casting ballots for Democrats. He loved his country. He loved the Constitution. He loved the Bill of Rights. And he loved the Second Amendment. He promoted that we all live by the cowboy creed, which is real men fight for justice. Respect others as well as yourself. Accept responsibility for your actions. Be positive even in the face of adversity. Cowboy up and live each day with courage. Be fair when dealing with others. Be friendly but stay armed. Treat people as you would like to be treated. That's the golden rule we all want to live by. Take pride in your work and finish what you start. Live life as a great example to others. Remember that your personal honor is not for sale. And retain your moral compass and always ride with Christ. I have so many favorite memories of Paul. I talked him into moving to Scottsdale many years ago so we could be closer. And one night, in Paul's style, he came up with his own new motto. He said, I'm the fastest man from Dallas. I'm the Fort Worth Flash. I moved out of Tornado Alley. I moved out to Paradise Valley and became the Scottsdale Sting immediately. Yes. Paul was funny. He added humor to every situation. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. And people will remember Paul because of the way he made them feel. His loving kindness and loyalty to his friends was one of his greatest attributes. He exuded hospitality and was one of the first to serve and very rarely allowed others to serve him. Paul had a big heart, and you could always count on him. He cared deeply for those who loved him, and he was the most loyal and loving friend I've ever known. We created a video of Paul's life and pictures, and during the process of putting it together, it brought back so many special memories of our lives together. He was so handsome, and he had that big Texas smile. Paulie was truly all hat, no cattle, meaning he didn't have any cows, but he had several cowboy hats, and he loved being from Fort Worth and the fun memories we cherished growing up in Cowtown. A hucklebearer would be a person carrying a coffin, essentially a pallbearer. In the movie Tombstone in 1993, Val Kilmer, who played Doc Holliday, slipped up and said, I'll be your huckleberry, essentially telling Johnny Ringo that he was ready for a fight, and the outcome of the fight would lead to Doc Holliday carrying Ringo's coffin. A hucklebearer is what a true friend would be honored to be for his friend in life and in death. The real job of a hucklebearer is one of honor and responsibility. In Proverbs 18:24, the Bible tells us one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Paul was closer to me than a brother. He was, in my mind, my brother, my best friend, and an angel here on earth. He brightened our lives with so much color that our lives will never be the same. He is not lost. He will live in our hearts forever. I will be forever grateful for having Paul in my life. I was the last person to speak with him and tell him how much he's loved. As Christians, we believe heaven is real and that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, welcomes his children with arms wide open and a loving embrace. That, in a twinkle of an eye, we transition from our earthly body to our spiritual bodies and even reunite with our loved ones who have gone before us. Paul had a strong faith in God, and he believed that Jesus Christ was his personal Lord and Savior and the living Son of God, and that by faith of Jesus being born by the virgin birth to Mary, died by the hand of the Roman soldiers, and then conquered death and Christ's triumphant rise to heaven, we know Paul's spirit is eternally secure, and he is now worshiping God the Most High in the heavenly realms. We believe Jesus Christ welcomed Paul home, and Paul heard those wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Paul touched each and every one of us and left us with memories we shall cherish forever. Thank you so much for allowing me to say a few kind words about my buddy today. And thank you for everyone for coming. We appreciate it very much.
I'm Lynn Dixon, and some of you may know me as Lynn Kennedy. I got married last year, but Paul and I have been, we were very good friends, and I remember him coming in to Wednesday night dinners, first with Sydney, and then when Sydney passed, I know he was just so heartbroken, and I know he really struggled, but he made it through that, and then he found Jesse. And Jesse was just such a special dog. And there were times that Paul needed a dog and house sitter. And I was the one he called. And so I would go and take care of her when he was not able to be there. And, you know, we formed that bond. And then there were times that, there were a couple Christmases when his dad was on the cruise. He was by himself. He came to my parents' house for Christmas dinner. There was probably about 20 or 25 of us for dinner that time. But my parents were always like that with my brother and I. We had a friend that didn't have anywhere to go. They came to our house. So Paul joined my family. And from that point on, he adored my parents. And so we all just kind of sat together. They sat together at Wednesday night dinners. And it was just such a shock that Monday morning when I got the word. And because I just felt like part of my heart, because a friend, a very good friend, is not with us any longer. But the one thing that gives me the comfort is knowing that I know that he is with our Lord and that he is home and he's free and he has no pain any longer. And I really wanted, no matter what was going on with Paul, he always tried to smile, and he always made you feel like a very, very special person in his life. And that's what I remember of Paul. And so thank you very much.
I have a funny little memory of Paul. So Paul had shared one evening that he had gone out to the Maverick. He loved country music, liked to dance there, and saw this very attractive young blonde there, and so cozied on over to talk to her and asked her to dance. And right about that time, a gentleman came up and introduced himself as her fiancé. And Paul decided, well, let me just forge a good relationship with both of you. Introduced himself and proceeded to become good friends with them. And that friendship grew even faster when, I think it was the following Sunday, he saw them at Christ Community. And so continued to build that relationship. About a couple months later, he went out to Texas for a visit and came back and said his friends needed to have the Fort Worth Stock Show t-shirts. So he had bought them both matching t-shirts. Of course, they were both size extra, extra large. And this young lady was nowhere near extra, extra large, but he said, I'm sure she'll wear it proudly because it is Texas and we're friends.
A little bit earlier to see if it was okay if someone such as myself, with the last name Suss could come up here and just let you know that the Suss family, without you, it would be all S's, of course. How thankful, grateful, the Suss family. And believe me, family out of Grettinger, Iowa, my mom, my dad, his father, Buddy. It was a huge, huge organization. And all the aunts, the uncles, including Uncle Buddy, fabulous individuals. And my cousins were the same way. And we were out here a number of years ago because his father, Uncle Buddy, had gone on a cruise. I was third or fourth that year, but so he had my mom come out here to watch Uncle Buddy's dogs. And I hadn't seen Paul in number of years. But when I see the photo up there, and it's almost like I just saw him again. And we had such a good time. And like you'd mentioned previously, animals, people were all very, very important to him. And it's very important for me as a member of the Suss family. I won't use my first name anymore from the conversations I've heard here today. But on behalf of the Suss family, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here today. Thank you. I thought I would be in L.A. in a couple weeks. We're out of Wisconsin for something called the Super Bowl, but guess not.
All right, I want to make sure I give everyone a chance. One second. Let me share one more on behalf of someone who couldn't be here but wanted to have her note read. This comes from a woman named Pat Walmark, who is a member here at Christ Community Church. Her husband is Carlton. And she writes, "Suss was unique. Suss was, well, Suss. I don't recall when Carlton and I met Paul Suss. It seems that he was just always here. We would see him on Wednesday nights at dinner and Bible study, at breakfast Sunday morning, and sometimes in the kitchen and helping Jerry. And there was a period of time that I received numerous phone calls and texts from him. Usually he just wanted someone to talk to, and sometimes he needed encouragement. Suss came to the community group that met in our house a few times, but it wasn't a good fit with his schedule. A few years ago, Carlton was in the hospital after his hip surgery. Suss came to his room. He walked in with his Bible in one hand and his dog's leash in the other. And yes, his dog was on the other end of his leash. And he visited for a while, read some scripture, prayed with us, then left. I asked how he got into the hospital with his dog. And he said, quote, if you walk in and look like you know where you're going and what you're doing, no one will question you. Suss loved our Lord, and he had a thirst to learn all that he could about him. I am glad Suss came into our lives. Suss was, well, Suss. Maranatha, Pat Walmark." Just want to make sure. Anyone else that wanted a chance to share? Okay. Well, then I'd like to take just a brief moment, if it's okay, to share with you from Scripture. You know, Paul loved the Bible, as you've heard today, and he would want us to listen to the Scriptures in some sense today at his memorial service. And so I wanted to share a verse with you. It's actually a prayer from the lips of Moses And it's found in a whole poem that Moses wrote. It's called Psalm 90, if you want to read it sometime in its fullness. Here's the prayer that Moses offers up to God. He said, God, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? Moses, in that psalm, as you read it, you discover he's reflecting on the reality of human mortality. He's looking at human beings like himself and his people, and he's noticing that we die. Our lives are so brief. People get 70, 80 years, and so many others die so much sooner than that. And he reflects on this in contrast with God. Moses says, God is from everlasting to everlasting. God is eternal. With God, like 1,000 years feels like yesterday. So God's eternal nature over against human beings like us and our mortality. That's the context of this prayer where Moses says, teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. You know, Paul's death startled us. We heard that a couple times already, didn't we? We weren't expecting him to die at this point. I remember seeing him, I suppose it was the week before or a week and a half, 2 weeks before, there in our Bible study. You guys were there. Happy as can be, helping out like he always did. And then he was gone. And when someone dies like that, it really startles you, doesn't it? It jolts our system. And I think it's appropriate for it to jolt us a bit. And we can actually benefit from that jolt by reflecting on our own lives and their brevity. And we can reflect on and learn from this prayer of Moses. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So then maybe you're asking, what does it mean to number our days? What does it mean to number our days? I would suggest three things. First, to number our days means to realize that our days are already fixed in number. The days of our lives are already predetermined. Isn't that amazing? At least according to the Bible, God already knows the exact number of days that he has for you and your life. Psalm 139, verse 16 tells us that God has written the number of our days in his book before a single one comes to pass. Isn't that amazing? This means that God wasn't surprised that Paul Sess died when he did. In fact, God knew the exact day, the exact hour, the exact second that Paul would die because God had already known his exact number of days. God knows your days too. The exact count before a single one has come to pass. Coming to terms with that reality is a powerful way to gain wisdom in your life. So, numbering our days means, number one, to realize that our days are already determined by God. But secondly, to number our days means to make the best use of our days, to use our days well for the things that matter most. You know, as a pastor, it's interesting. Over time, you get to attend a number, it's a blessing, you get to attend a number of funerals, and you get to hear the kinds of things that people share about those who have died. And you know, there's a pattern, there's a trend. At funerals, people never share about, oh, how wealthy someone was, or how important they were, all their status, or all their earthly glory, if you will. What do people share about? They share about the relationships that person had, the relational impact that they made, the way the person served, the way the person loved, the way the person cared. Those are the things that matter most, and those happen to be the very things that people end up sharing at memorials like this. We heard a number of you share those very kinds of things about Paul Sess today. I could share with you a few memories that I have of him. I've only known Paul for about 5 years, but when I moved here roughly 5 years ago, I remember the first time I met him. It was at a men's retreat, and he comes up, and he just had that big, hearty handshake and big, healthy smile and just that engaging way about him. Huge cowboy hat. I think he had one of his dogs with him on that retreat. And from there, I got to know Paul just through our interactions here at the church. It's already been mentioned that, he was so eager to learn and grow as a Christian that he would take these copious notes with his sermons. Sometimes he'd send me a picture of it. And just such a blessing. But what I really remember, especially remember, is the way that he would serve in simple ways. Many of you knew him because of service teams that he was on, maybe handing out food to the needy. Or many of us remember him serving in our cafeteria here at the church. I remember on my Wednesday Bible study class that Paul would come in early and he wanted to always set up the computer for me, plug it in, and he'd say, "I got your back, Pastor. I got you set up, you know?" And then he'd sit right there on the front row and put his feet up during the whole Bible study. It was awesome. He just loved to help, right? He loved to care. And it's those things that we remember, isn't it? Numbering our days means investing in those kinds of things, the things that matter. But isn't it true that lots of people in our day invest in the things that don't really matter? I think of Jesus' words. He told this parable in Luke chapter 12 about this very wealthy man who was involved in farming, and he had such a bumper crop that year that he couldn't even store the grain in his own barns. His barns were full. What's he going to do with all the extra stuff? Well, rather than be generous, that man decided, "I know what I'll do. I'll just build bigger barns so I can store more of my grain. And then I'll relax, eat, drink, and be merry." God came to that man and said, "You fool, tonight I will take your life. And then where's all your grain? It all perishes, right? None of that transfers over to eternity." By contrast, may you and I use our time with wisdom, investing in people, investing in service, investing in the things of God, the things that matter. What about you? Are you using your days well for the right things? Numbering our days means realizing our days are determined. It means making the best use of our days. But thirdly, to number our days means to live for eternity. To live for eternity. I know for a fact that Paul Suss would want me to share with you the good news of the gospel that he believed. See, according to the Bible, the reason that our days are numbered like this is because of our sin against the God who made us. According to the Bible, God created all things, including human beings, but men and women have rebelled against God. We have turned our back on him, sinned against him in countless ways, in word, thought, and deed. We've tried to be God in our own lives rather than honor him as God. And so the punishment for our sin is death. And every man, woman, boy, and girl faces, at the end of their limited days in this life, we face God's ultimate final judgment for our sin. He is a just and holy God who must hold his creation accountable for how they've actually lived. The frustrating news is that left to ourselves, it's clear that we'll be declared guilty on that day of judgment, deserving of God's everlasting condemnation. What are we to do? Well, this then introduces, at this point, the good news of the gospel, that God, out of his great love, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to become a person, to live a perfect human life, to die on a cross as a substitute for sinners, bearing the judgment that we deserve for our sin. He bore it instead. He died there, effectively taking our death penalty. And then he went into the grave. He was buried. And then, as you know, he rose again. He rose back to life, declaring that death is defeated, sin is atoned for. He ascended back into heaven, where he reigns even now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is calling men and women everywhere to turn away from their sin and turn to him in saving faith. According to the Bible, if we will trust in Jesus Christ, We can be forgiven of all of our sin. We can be made right with God. And we can have the hope of everlasting life, eternal life. We can actually find significance in our limited amount of days in this earthly life because we have the hope of eternal, everlasting resurrection life with Jesus to come. Jesus himself said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So I ask you, do you want to cheat death? Do you want to make your fixed, limited amount of days actually have significance for all eternity? Then put your hope, put your faith in Jesus. Because only he defeated death. Only he has the power to forgive you. Only he has the power to put you right with God and to give you everlasting life. If you have questions about that, maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I'd like to have that kind of personal relationship with Jesus Christ that the Bible talks about, that Paul Suss savored and loved and talked about as well. If that's you and you want to talk more, talk to me or one of the pastors, Pastor Tim, Pastor Floyd, or really any of the Christians sitting around you, because this is one of our favorite conversations to have. And we would love to help you through that. Well, I conclude then by asking you this. Have you numbered your days? Have you numbered your days? Have you come to terms with the limited, fixed, set amount of days that you actually have? Are you making every day count for the right things? And then most importantly, are you living with your hope fixed on Jesus, the one who can make your days count for all eternity? May God help each of us to number our days that we may gain hearts of wisdom. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we know that it is fitting as we remember our brother and friend, Paul Suss, it is fitting to contemplate our own lives. We ask that you would give us wisdom. We ask that you would draw our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let me invite you to stand one more time and let's sing together In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you. Be seated for just one more moment. As we leave today, I would just encourage you, you can stay in this space as long as you'd like, just to connect with people around you, and be sure to visit the table, display table in the back, with a lot of really special photos and memorabilia regarding Paul's life, and also come to the front where you can view His Bible, and a number of other things. And thank you for those who brought these items. Really, really appreciate that. I'd like to close our time now with a word of thanksgiving and prayer. And then after that, I'll dismiss us with a benediction. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank You for these reflections today, that You are sovereign over all, over life, over death, over all things. We just sit here in deep awareness of that truth. And it gives great comfort to those of us who know You. Thank You that we are able today to celebrate the number of days that were laid out for Paul Suss in his earthly life, and to think and reflect on his eternity and on the reality of Christ and the hope found in Him. Lord, our brother was so special to us. Thank You for the opportunity to express those memories. Thank You for Your goodness in things like relationships and all the kinds of memories that we've shared. Lord, we ask that in our lives we would carry out the legacy that Paul leaves us in all those simple ways that he served and that he loved those around him. May we have hospitable hearts like he modeled so well for us. May You receive glory as we remember Him and as we talk about Him and as we reflect. We'll give You all the praise, all the glory, all the honor that You are due. Thank You for blessing this time. We pray all these things in the beautiful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So then, let me bless us with this benediction. It comes from the book of Numbers in the Bible. Let the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace.